All right. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. So we have probably predominantly people that are in the global community, you know, that have been practicing and in accordance with the two talks that I've done, they've been exploring the second threshold of unity quite extensively, many of them. And those of you who are new, and those of you who are in the, you know, who have done the Mutual Awakening course and you're curious as to, you know, what's next. So yes, please do, you know, you might want to even just make a note of questions. Like in the beginning, I'll talk a little bit, but a lot of this is going to be interactive with you because, you know, that's kind of where the juice is, basically. So just a quick review. First threshold of unity. So first, let's come together. Let's make sure we're as together as possible. I know that you're here to listen, but if you kind of allow yourself, those of you who are newer, just to kind of come inside my voice, place your consciousness and attention, then it just brings us into a more congruent space. Yeah, there we go. And interestingly enough, the more aligned we are in that way, different things come out of my mouth. Do I mean like it actually changes the depth of what happens? I'm definitely not a talking head. I'm utterly relational when it comes to, you know, what happens and what is shared. So. And the more you want also, the more you genuinely allow your curiosity rather than the part of you that's judging possibly. So if you can place that aside just for the hour, it's a pretty short amount of time that we're together, and just come inside and we'll stay together. And then at the end of the hour, you can think about what I said and think about whether or not it makes sense to you. But I wouldn't do it as you go. Just come on in and we will see where we can go. And then later you can determine, you know, what's correct for you. Okay. All right. So just a quick review on the first two thresholds. The first threshold, and there's obviously lots more to say about it, but is the usual consciousness. It's our individual journey. It's the hero or heroine's journey. It's the human condition. You know, we incarnate on the planet and we have usually a certain amount of momentum. Anybody who's had a child knows that each child is really different. There are no blank slate children that I've ever met, right? Kind of like terrifying as a parent. You're just like, but, you know, I did a similar thing with this one than with that one. And it's just amazing, you know, how humans show up with a certain momentum, certain kinds of tendencies. And the particular first threshold journey is an individual one. It doesn't mean we're not in relationship. It doesn't mean we're not in families and organizations and communities and nations and countries and all kinds of other groups, but we're individual within those situations. Okay. So that's the first journey. There's dark and light. There's free will. There's learning through causality, making mistakes, doing things brilliantly, finding out what happens. And it's, you know, basically what humans are doing. The second journey, which I spoke about, the second threshold, has to do with shared unity. It's about a different kind of consciousness that's arriving. Evolutionarily, evolution brings different things at different times. You know, there was a time when, you know, light turned into matter and there was no life. There was a time when there were just little organisms. There was a time when the mammals finally showed up. And there was a time when humans showed up in a very rudimentary form. And then we have developed since, you know, within this evolutionary time frame. And what I'm saying is that the first threshold is an evolutionarily, it's a way of being human, being separate, that is not the future. And most people who can think rationally, if you consider that there's 8 billion of us on our dear planet Earth, and we are learning and growing by ourselves and, you know, making a lot of mistakes and trying to forgive ourselves and each other, the planet can't handle 12 billion people doing that. 2050, there's going to be 10 billion. So one would think that so far evolution has continued, and there have been, I'm sure, very touchy times in millions of years past. And we happen to be living at a very significant time. So the second threshold has to do with this other potential, another way of coming together, which is unitive, which is a different way of being. It's not just people getting along and cooperating or co-creating, because that's still separation. That's high duality, very high coordinated duality. So the third threshold, which is what we're going to focus on today, has to do with that there's actually something even beyond that, or not beyond it, but has a further realm of potential. So just as an individual has certain potentials, when you bring millions of people in a nation together, or it used to be like in the good old days when you used to bring people together, to in a large number of people that were working together to create something in some semblance, you could move things differently than one person could do by themselves. Just like a chorus, if I was a great singer, I could sing individually, but if we had, 1,000 Pavarottis, singing, like who knows, what would open in the heavens if you had that kind of, that kind of voice in unity. So the third threshold has to do with, well, then if there's the shared unity, if there's this different dimension and different domain that is that begins to be accessible together, then what is this next threshold where you have a larger organism, a larger nervous system? So it's not people coordinating and separately, having ground rules and ways to do things together, where you have to corral them and do the various things that one does if you're trying to get a bunch of people to do anything together. There's actually a living, functioning unity. There's a space, there's a development, there's a way of being that you could call interbeing. I think I'm not exactly sure what Thich Nhat Hanh meant by it, if he means the same thing that I mean, but there's a different kind of beingness, just like there are individual cells in my body, but billions of cells somehow, and I'm here. If you have a bunch of cells on a Petri dish, that's a very different phenomena than a Patricia with the consciousness and the beingness that shows up when there's something else happening with those billions of cells. And the only thing I can liken it to is, and I think many of you may have your own memories of this, but as a native New Yorker, even though I wasn't living in New York when 9/11 happened, I felt like my homeland had been hit for sure, because I'm deeply from here. And it felt like for a couple of days, like the whole planet, like something was different. Like we were inside something together. I don't know if you remember. It was really like, it almost like, even though it was terrible what happened, it felt like, wait a minute, like there's something about this that feels right. And it wasn't just the shock, and it wasn't just people, being nice about something terrible that happened. It was, we like something opened and there was some kind of resonance. And I think they have those machines that measure certain frequencies in the world, and they were doing something different. And I had a dear friend who was an emergency medicine physician, Robert. And I was supposed to have a session with him that morning. I was still doing private sessions at the time. And I, you know, when I saw that the towers get hit, I thought, okay, definitely not talking to Robert today. And he said that when he went down to the World Trade Center, and I remember it vividly when we finally got to talk, he just said, and he's been to disaster situations. He's a Doctors Without Borders doctor all over the world. He said it was completely different. He said there was something happening. Egos, it was like this egoless unity. Like everyone was functioning. And he said it was magic. It was like something was happening that was one of the most extraordinary experiences he's ever had. There was some way that humans were functioning together. They were inside something different. So it was like a little flash of how maybe, you know, kind of where we might be headed. And then everybody went back to being separate and having a million different points of view and all the rest of it, right? Is that making sense to you a little bit? So there's something more that's coming. Do you know what I mean? There'll be children born and they'll be, you know, probably different. Therapy may go out of fashion. You know, the children may actually have an impact on the parents. Their frequency and their, you know, particular, like the way that they are may actually cohere, you know, some kind of different quality with the people that are around them. We'll see. You know, that's postulation, but I can tell you for sure, this third threshold, what I was motivated to do 14 years ago, I had the privilege and the dharma to have worked with, to have taught groups endlessly, literally. You know, I mean, when you work with, I met Werner Erhard when I was 18, and every night of the week for pretty much 12 years, you know, I was working with anything from 30, most of the time it was about 300 to, you know, I'd get up in front of large groups, you know, a couple of thousand people, but it was like every day was working with groups. Working with groups that were in training programs, working with groups that were there for the evening or for 10 sessions or whatever it was. And if you, those of you here who are teachers and you, if you've ever worked with groups, it's a certain thing. It's a certain phenomenon. You know, there are times where it's magic and it's one of the greatest experiences ever. And there are times when you want to fall through the floor and disappear right in the middle. Because, you know, somebody starts going weird and the room goes weird and it's just awful, you know, and it's hard to move it, you know, into a different space and you learn. And so when I had this experience 14 years ago of maybe there's something else, I immediately thought to work with a group, you know. That was, of course. And so I gathered, I don't know, we had about 30 people for the very beginning of the experiment. And I told them that this wasn't going to be about their personal process. And the people that came trusted me that if they spent time with me, it would be valuable. So, you know, they decided to do it anyway. And we discovered the mutual awakening practice. You know, I was able to share that dimension of consciousness with them because it was something I had experienced and known. But then the discovery of how do you work with a group inside this shared unity is a completely different thing. So if everybody's there and everyone's working on, you know, anything from their deep woundedness to wanting to become awakened, you have to work with the whole range of human. You know, you have to work very differently. And if you want to work when it comes to creating like this unitive body, this way in which people's individuality is honored, obviously. I mean, their particularity is illumined, if anything. But it's not about their personal process. It's about this quality of something that's coming into existence. And one of the things that became really clear, really fast, and it has not changed, is that it needs to be egoless shared unity. So if you're working on the level of ego wants and desires and needs and, you know, I need to express myself and the various things that we do in groups that I've done, it's completely different. So we just started to discover, what does it take? Do you know what I mean? Like, what's the orientation? How do we align together so that we can live inside the shared unity ongoingly and actually be a vehicle for evolution to discover what its capabilities are through a living body of unity? So let me say that again. So first you have to, like, you know, if you do groups, you know, there's a lot of different ways to put them together. There's a lot of things that work, a lot of things that don't work. Okay. But this is like a, like, how do you give an organism of consciousness, an organism of evolution that is developing and discovering itself almost like a small child, right? You know, all of a sudden they can stand up and you're like, ooh, you know, and then they can walk. And, you know, what do you do and who's there? What kind of people and what kind of situation and what are you paying attention to? And what's the alignment and orientation so that this living body of unity becomes more and more capable of the shared circuitry? What does it do for the individual? You know, what kind of amazing things happens if you get to live inside this quality of 24/7 being in this organism of unity? And then what can evolution do with that organism, you know, living through us and showing us what's next and showing us the different capabilities? And the superhuman, I mean, there's super sensitive, there's sensitivities, there's like a different way your senses start to change. There's a very different way of turning towards life and experiencing just walking down the street. And those of you that are in global, when you say, like, I wish I could just be here all the time, that's what I'm talking about. It's as close to being in that world as we're capable of creating at this point, at this juncture. And just like when you're, you know, if you have a really exquisite kind of being in love with someone, you know, where there's a spiritual quality to it as well. You know, there's something deeper that's going on and you feel them all the time, right? Even though you're in the world, you're kind of also not in the world. Anybody ever experienced that? Like you're still going to your job and you're doing different things, but you're always with them. You're always inside something. You know, you always have sort of an inner smile. And it's different. There's a different quality of not being alone. And similarly, with this third threshold, this interbeing, this body of unity, it has that quality to it. So is this making sense so far? And there's a lot to discover too. I mean, like, one of the things that, you know, I know some of the people here, you know, people work with clients, they work with organizations, you know, they work with different kinds of groups, they teach groups, you know, there's different, like even just a crowd, you know, like a crowd is like in the teaching that I do around this third threshold, you start to distinguish the differences in the normal ways people come together. Like an organization is more components, usually. So, you know, if Diana happens to be like a brilliant, you know, creative you know, creative head of creativity, you know, we could replace her and get somebody else who's really brilliant at creativity, right? In organizations, you can be replaced functionally. This interbeing, this other way of being, you can't be replaced. It's really different. It doesn't function on that sort of objectification of, you know, take this one out and just put another one in. It's very particular. And you feel very plugged in your particularity and your uniqueness. And you're not fighting for it because it's not egoic. You know, when you see someone's divinity, for lack of a better way to say it, you know there's no other Marcia. There's no other Judy. You can taste it. You know, we do work around that where you can literally like taste the absolute particularity, the divine particularity that's there, that's even beyond the soul. And that's what's being seen and reinforced and held within this body of unity. So that thing, you know, if anybody ever complains here, I'm sure there's no one here who complains that people don't really see you, right? Nobody has that experience. You can't even get your mother to see, you know, it's kind of like there's a certain amount of just, you just succumb to the fact that they can only see so much. They can only see so far. And we don't have that. You know, in the third threshold, you really experience being seen without, it's just the nature of the beast, you know, of this way of being is being seen is like breathing. And you know, in your normal life, you know, you're not in a good place sometimes. And then someone does really see you, or at least half sees you, and you just immediately feel better. You feel saner. You just feel just a little bit saner. You're a little closer to, okay. All right. I'm okay. And I don't know about you, but the world in its, you know, divinely orchestrated chaos at the moment, I think it helps probably more than anything for evolution to be experimenting and bringing forth deep ways that we can live in a place of connection that doesn't depend on, you know, being in some ashram or living in the same town. It's huge. And being inspired by the goodness and the, you know, the beauty of other human beings instead of a little bit of the other. So let me see what else I want to tell you about it. So it's an evolutionary phenomenon. There's, you know, one of the things that I will be doing an advanced course and teaching just mostly about the third threshold, a little bit about the first, because you have to see more clearly what most people are caught up in the first in order to move into the third. But, you know, there are vectors, there's alignments, there's ways to be aligned. Like one of the vectors is who's in the room matters. Who's there? You know it too. You can have 50 people and you can have one person who's just creating trouble. One person can just ruin everything, right? Have you ever had that experience? I mean, you have to be good about it and da da da, you know, but there's a way at this, in this egoless shared unity and supporting people to find that place within themselves. And this whole thing sort of operates on a different frequency. It's pretty effortless to be in this egoless way of relating to one another. It doesn't mean you don't still have an ego, and it doesn't mean that it doesn't play out, you know, in other places where it's more invited. You know, there are some people in your life that are just like, you just can't hardly help going, you know, you just get hooked. They just say something and you're like, oh, there I go. But anyway, in this third threshold, there's a lot of care for how do you continue to develop this egoless dimension, not as a bypass, but as a strength that keeps lifting and purifying those that are within it. That's pretty interesting. One of the things, I want to mention one more thing, and then I want to open it up to some questions, because I'm sure I've at least stimulated some questions, is one of the things about these evolutionary waves, like there's different times that are giving different potentials. To do the really fast version, I don't think anyone would disagree that during the geological time of existence, you know, when there was no life, it was really long. It continues, of course, now we have rocks and, you know, fire and various other things, but everything developed really slowly. No change. You know, animals, unless humans are breeding new kinds of creatures, which sometimes we are, mostly we're just facilitating the end of species. For the most part, you know, cows are cows, except for what humans do. So there's not development, and it's there was like tons and tons of time where, you know, there was that development into what they were, and then everything's kind of stayed the same. Humans, however, have developed even more quickly, right? And for those of us that are more than 40 years old, we've even seen like this ridiculous speed up. That things are going faster, things are developing in one day, the kinds of things that are developing on the planet and being invented, blah, blah, you know, is just, you can't even comprehend it, actually. The speed of things. You know, even my grandmother, do you know what I mean? Like they wore similar clothes, you know, like it was slower. There was much less to have to deal with the changes. So the frequency of this next level, even though it's faster and it's more powerful, it's the difference between, like, if you were in a bus, you know, in India, going about 20 miles an hour on a bumpy road, it would feel like there was a lot happening. You'd be like, you know, like, or maybe if they went 40, you'd be like, oh my God, go slower. If you're in, so I did some research this morning, because the wave of evolution I'm pointing to is 40 times faster than our individual way of being. So on this earth, if you take an airplane from, you know, New York to California or Ohio to, you know, Istanbul, it goes about 600 miles an hour. That's what it takes to get up into the air and to get you where you're going. In order to go into space and not just orbit the Earth, but go all the way, you know, where you could go to Mars and beyond, you have to be going 24,000 miles an hour to get past the Earth's gravity and then to have enough propellant to keep going. So what I'm pointing to, and I'm really serious about this, I'm not exaggerating, is the difference between being in a commercial plane and, so 600 times 40 is 24,000, and getting in a spaceship that has enough power to go into space and keep going. When you're in space, it's quiet. Remember the gravity, the whole thing changes. You're going really fast and you're like floating. Even time changes. All of it changes. You know, you're no longer orbiting around the sun. So what's a day? You don't know what a day is. Everything starts to change. That's good. So just let that in for a moment. So it's the speed that, and the power that then almost like takes you back into the kind of quiet that you have when you walk through a forest. Except you're human. Usually humans are noisy. The internet is noisy. Okay, so that was good. All right, so with that, let's have some questions, Carolyn.
And again, please type your question in the Ask Patricia, and then I'll call on you. So I actually have a question first, Patricia.
All right.
as more people come in. So my question is, you talked about the relating in the second threshold and the third threshold a little bit. Could you please further distinguish the difference? You know, for those of us who have been on global, you know, mm-hmm. we're used to relating from origination point contact.
Yes.
So what's different about the third threshold?
Okay. So there's a bunch of differences. So one of the differences is the level of commitment. So when you're building a stable organism, you know, something that is literally having a 24/7 existence, and that you are living within that and you are growing because of it and you are contributing to it, you have to be oriented towards it, at least the way we understand being human. This is just for us, because in the future, who knows, it'll probably be different. You won't need to be committed because the whole thing will just be different. But it's very different, you know, to have 50 or 100 people that are literally stable and there and growing and deepening together and are aligned with the vectors. So there are these 8 different vectors, which are, a vector is the way you find a point in space. So the vectors are the alignment for this particular being, that once the alignment happens, you don't have to think about the vectors, but on the way there, to go from being like a normal individual human being into moving and sustaining this level of being connected, you have to know what to align with. Does that make sense? Somewhat, Carolyn, you ask me more, because I know you're listening from there listening.
Yes, that does make sense.
Yeah, the difference is the 24/7. You know, it'd be like if you were going to do like a lover thing, you know, like you could have an amazing weekend with someone and then never see them again, which is different than having a beloved that you're building a life with and you're deepening continuously. Do you know what I mean? You're building something that doesn't get like ripped out or changed. The vectors are a big part of it. And, you know, like I can talk more about that before we end.
All right. I'm going to highlight Nan.
Yeah.
Oops. And sorry, Patricia, I just lost you. One sec. There we go. And Nan has a question about about separateness and individuality. Here we go. Nan, you should be unmuted if you want to ask your question live.
My question is simple. Is it fair to say that what you are on to is an accelerating and expanding path towards the dissolution of separateness, both individually and collectively?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Almost immediate. I mean, the truth is separateness. The thing that's incredible, Nan, is that the separateness goes away almost immediately when you get into the second threshold, and the particularity of your origination point, which is different than even, like I said, the soul's journey or essence or your authentic self, it's illumined. So it's almost like that whole journey becomes like in the background.
But you're also, it seems to me that you're also talking about what is the most difficult thing, which is to maintain that state over time and space.
Right.
And
correct.
That is what humans are presently unable to achieve.
Correct.
Individually or collectively.
Yeah, this kind of collective, which isn't really a collective, it's an interbeing, it's a unitive.
Right.
Yes.
Collective is not the right word.
It solves that problem.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It solves a problem because when you're in that, like you're there, but you're also selfless. Like there's something that isn't obsessed with, it's no longer about that anymore.
But you're living your life. You're not meditating to get there. You're living your life.
You're living life. I would even take the "you're" out of it. You're living life because as you are more that and you're more spontaneous and you're more connected to something greater, whatever is that greater evolutionary bringing something into the future is literally orchestrating all of us that are connected in that way.
So you're at the same time evolving your own particularity.
Yeah, you're evolving. The evolution is more of a purification.
Sure.
And through the kind of not having to surrendered.
But surrender.
But you're not having to like do it all the time. You know, you're just kind of
acceptance it. Is the road.
You're being danced. You're being danced.
All right.
And
acceptance is the road to freedom.
Yeah, it's not even that. Like I'm not very accepting. I don't even think about it.
Oh. Okay.
It's really weird. It's almost like there's things that go away as even something to consider.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. This
really
is
exciting.
I can't tell you what a difference it makes to have some kind of understanding. I've been listening to you for
a while.
A long time. Haven't gotten it, don't know how to connect with it. Having this understanding changes everything for me.
Yeah.
And connects me to a pre-existing minuscule sense of a personal experience of what you're talking about.
Yeah. And then the question is, Nan, is, you know, like, existence needs you and others to, like, if you ever wanted to know, what can I do? What, you know, what's meaningful? You know, how can I in some way participate in the benefit, you know, the betterment of existence going into the future? This is definitely one of those ways.
Be that.
Yeah. To be this with others as evolution is developing the potential for this.
So you're really providing the practice.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm more than even a teacher. I mean, I'm a pretty good teacher, but it's more like, this is about like getting everyone, the right people, and getting the people who are called, and then developing the right situation and maintaining that so that literally something can exist. And then existence can like flow into that. And I'm
evolutionary.
Yeah.
Evolutionary gymnastics.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Works for me.
I'm choicelessly committed to that. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for your question. Yeah. Ask what doesn't make sense. Cause we're together in that. I want it to make sense. And yet it is a different, you know, it's a different order of things. Like I wish I was still inside a different paradigm and I was just talking to people that already understood that paradigm and I was just talking about a part of it. You know, that would be like really easy. But this is like a different territory. So, but then you're who you are. That's why you're here. So.
All right. Andrea has a question about the difference between the second and third thresholds.
Sure.
Unmute her.
Hi, Andrea.
Hey. I think a good part of it was answered with when Carolyn asked the question, because the difference between the two thresholds, is that the 600 miles per hour, 24,000 miles per hour? Is that the difference in the two thresholds?
Yeah. That it?
That's, well, I think you answered the question by saying it's a level of commitment.
It's basically the difference is So we created global and the second threshold and the way that we do that so that people can come and go and do that as works for them. So when they're there, the commitment, the being together, the meeting is, you know, everybody, that's a given. And that's enough for a lot of people. A lot of people, like, that's, you know, they're just thrilled and that's more than enough. But some people need to be called to go further, like this, what this next step, and we develop stages where people can honor themselves and how they want to do something and then go deeper. And then if it's appropriate, take the next step. And I know that the next step isn't the right thing for everyone. You know, I don't have it like, well, everybody should do that. Like, cause I've been around a long time. So I know that that's not the case. But it is like when people say they want to live in it 24/7, the living in it 24/7 is what it is in the third threshold, and deepening that and going through what one goes through in order for that to come more and more into existence. That's part of what sustains that. Does that help or no?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Sort of another question has entered. And that is pronouns. Pronouns are so tricky. We use them all wrong, right? They're all our pronouns. You watch a TV show, all the pronouns are designed for threshold one. And to even have an awareness of threshold two, the pronouns seem to be like they don't fit quite right.
Yeah.
And I noticed when you were talking just now, you're describing the second threshold seemingly with the pronoun vernacular used by the first threshold, which is, you know, you lean right in, but it's not like in global, I don't lean in. We are, you know, pronouns, we are all doing the same thing. So it's not me entering.
Right. Of course.
It's right. Something being formed, and it, like, the pronouns seem kind of wrong because it's the description is threshold one language to describe threshold two, and
you can't. That what I'm saying, I mean, as you know, there's a million things wrong. Yeah, in the beginning of something, you just do the best you can and you gather the people who can hear enough.
I have this little fantasy, you know, in the Bible, it begins, and first there was the word. And
I'm maybe at the end, and then the word ends, you know.
or you know, the pronoun changes, or something like that.
The word is over. Yeah, who knows? Okay. Other questions?
All right, we had one quick question that I'll just ask for Rahila is, Are you going to talk about the fourth threshold?
Well, the fourth threshold is really the immaculate unity. You know, that would be when this is manifest here fully. One of the things that's inspiring about that is from that dimension of reality, which is available as you enter into the world. You know, we do that on the second threshold, the third threshold as well, probably in a sustaining way, where the light and the dark, self-reflection, choosing between this and that endlessly, it all just starts to fall away. And the orchestration, rather than the journey being, you know, lots of humans trying to grow and develop themselves on Earth, is the divinity, the particularity of humans is given, and that there's a larger mission that we are being moved within. Period. So even that whole divine will, you know, like that's just like done. You know, we are in a dance, kind of like on that 9/11 day. You know, it's like everybody was totally being themselves, but they weren't like, I said I was going to do it. No, you were, you know, like all of that fades away. And there's some kind of a dance that is glorious and where you feel like you're home. So I hope that makes sense. You know, you guys are nice and quiet. Look at that. Not quiet from the questions, but I can hear a certain kind of quiet. You know, one of the things that I learned in the beginning of my journey when I was not even 20, and it's always been true. Like I actually have seen this in so many human beings, which is that we want to make a difference. You know, we actually do want our lives besides enjoying ourselves and, you know, relishing in the beautiful dimensions of what it means to have a life and be a human. We also want it to count in some way. And in my experience, you know, finding being in some way a part of bringing heaven on earth, for lack of a better way to say it, Andrea, you know, facilitating that does make a difference. And you know, evolution needs human beings that are willing to give themselves in that way. Some things that I end up teaching, so we'll tell you about, you know, like we do things pretty carefully in the Evolutionary Collective. You know, the journey of teaching people how to practice, we take a lot of care in supporting people to find their way into the second threshold. And in the global community, the practice community, we take a lot of care, you know, for how that space is held and how we support the people that are participating in that. And with this third threshold, you know, the next step has to do with really being introduced to some of the practices and the unique knowledge, the unique content really of understanding like what these evolutionary forces are and what you're aligning with or not. And what, you know, and all of a sudden you look out into the world and you see the world differently. And then, you know, other dimensions of the difference between having a more selfish, strategic way of entering into life. We do a lot of work on the strategic and then this receptive or giving oneself. And there's a lot of things to become, distinctions to become awake around. Because most of the time we're just doing whatever we're doing. Like we're, you know, when Buddha said that, you know, we're ignorant, we are. Humans are amazingly unaware of so many things. we just are, you know, we should be wildly humble, but we're not always. And so, you know, working and opening up, you know, the vista of the distinction between, you know, knowing what I'm doing and how I'm going to do it and the four steps to doing something and the very strategic ways of being into this other way of, like, you would call it surrender, but it's bigger than that. It's like a different kind of way of being that is porous and peripheral, and the self-reflection is gone. In this next evolutionary state, you're not constantly thinking about yourself. Now, if you don't want to give that up, you know, definitely don't listen to me much more, you know, if you're very attached to that, you know, because I watch it even in the practice, when the people are practicing, you know, we have this human tendency, like something opens up and then we're like, oh, what was that? What happened? And what does it mean? And, you know, like we stop going in that direction to just examine the whole thing. And eventually you lose your desire to do that. You want to just be in it. You know, it's kind of like, why would you want to stop it? Truly, you know, so there's like a different kind of way of being that's not all self-reflection and deciding and looking under the rocks to make sure your shadow is not about to pop out and, you know, reveal something. You know, it's just very different. It's very different. It's very real. It's not fantasy and it's not imagination. It's very real. You know the difference between real and not real. But there's a different kind of way of being. And that can be lived in, but it's lived in inside something larger. You don't do that by yourself. So, and it's expanding. You know, I mean, the thing that's exciting is that as you are in it with others and it's coming alive and it's becoming more pure and more connected, more abilities are showing up, you know, like a two-year-old who can walk, you know, it's like, it's just different. You know, you start discovering what it can do and how we can be and what is possible to be sustained instead of that you have an amazing experience and the whole thing goes away. So, okay. Anybody else?
Yes. And we have 8 minutes, Patricia. So we probably want to talk about the advanced course. Katie, yeah. All your questions will hopefully be answered now. So are we ready to talk a little bit about that for a minute? And then, yes, we do have a couple of great questions if we have time.
Let me just say one thing before we do this. So we don't teach a million courses. I do this once a year. So this particular advanced course is a once a year opportunity for the people for whom they're curious about the third threshold and they want to go further. So if you are curious, you know, I would definitely pay close attention and, you know, get yourself there. I also almost died last year. So no, I'm kidding. So then there's that. I'm definitely here. I'm definitely here for a while, for sure. Okay. So let's show them the thing. Okay, so the advanced course. So it begins on Saturday, July 15th. Keep going. And the way that we've broken it up, we used to do like 3 days, and we decided to change the form of it for a number of different reasons, but I'm really happy about this. So it begins with July 15th, which is a Saturday, and it's 8 a.m. in the morning till 2 p.m. Pacific time. You can do the math for where you live. So we have a really kind of good, solid, intense period of time for us to really work. And those of you who are on global, you know what happens in 15 minutes. So in a 15-minute practice, you know where we go. So having the opportunity to be together and for me to be able to be with you for these chunks of time where we can practice and explore and go deeper, it's huge. You know, a lot happens. So it's that. And then there's a Wednesday. So then we have 3 classes that are 90 minutes, 2 Wednesdays. 3 Wednesdays in a row, and then it completes with another full day or full day-ish from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. on August 5th. Okay. And there's breaks and, you know, it's not
laborious. And for the first time ever, we are recording these sessions and making them available. So if you do need to miss, you know, a session of some kind, you know, please be in contact with us, but you will be able to not miss some of the material. And that's something we haven't ever done before.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. To take it, you need to have done the Mutual Awakening course, right? And a lot of the people that are here have done that. If you're very, you know, I would be the type that I'd want to do this, even if I hadn't done the Mutual Awakening course. So you have to make sure to take that now so that you're through it and able to practice and you're in the second threshold, because otherwise it won't work. And those of you who have taken Mutual Awakening and you're not on global, you would need to be in global for the period of time, right, Carolyn? They need to be in global now or when they're in the course?
Definitely in the course. And you know, because part of the preparation for the course is practicing on global, and you know, the immersion in the second threshold is key because we're only going further. So the more you're immersed in that, the better. Which is why, as soon as you can, if you aren't already a global member, we would recommend that. But for sure, during the course.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because otherwise it holds everybody else back. So we need to make sure that you're where you need to be so that it works for you and it works for everyone. Okay, so then you can read that for yourself. So for current global members, oh wait, go back for a second. And then also for core, there's a button on it, and it's greatly reduced, obviously. So if you feel like participating in the advanced course, you can. There's a bonus package. You know, there's things that I've taught that are useful, you know, so if you're taking this starting July to be listening and participating in certain things, it just helps, when we come together that you're inside this. So if you register by next Sunday, right? No, by June 18th, which is forever from now. There's a three-part series about the human instincts, creative union, and the divinization drive. And you'll get that. And if you register, the first 9 people that register, starting right now, in the course, you'll get a semi-private pre-course session with me, which means I will work with 3 of you over an hour, tuning in and doing a particular kind of work that I do with people as we go further. I've done this many times, and it's pretty strong. So if you think you're going to do this, you might as well jump in and get everything. That's always my theory. So you're going to get an email, or they already have it, right, Carolyn? I think
they will shortly after this call.
So you can click on the website and you can look at the landing page and make your decision. And if you think you're going to do it, you know, register, and we can have the semi-private session too. We can schedule that. Yeah, I did that with a bunch of the people that are here that are in the core. Yeah, it was really, I kind of love that. I get an inside view, and you know, there's things that start through the session. Okay. I think that's it, right? We have like a minute. It's never enough time. But we'll have time in the advanced course. So if you are free, it would be really wonderful to spend that time with you. And if not, I'm grateful that you're here. Those of you who are new, take the Mutual Awakening class. You know, get yourself in the second threshold and worry about this next year if, you know, it's not making sense to you, okay? All right. So we're going to unmute the lines. Thank you, Carolyn. And thank you, all of you, for your listening and your generosity. I appreciate it. Okay. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks, everyone. Patricia. Thank you. Thanks, Carolyn.